Good morning, and welcome to each of you here this morning, each of you who are here in the sanctuary, and probably this is the most I've seen for a long time, so this is great. Good morning to those of you who are here, as well as those listening online now or in the future. I had some thoughts this last week. I often do. And I'd like to share some of those with you this morning. You've heard me say this before, that together we are more than the sum of our parts. Or in other words, the effect that we have on each other makes us all stronger, or perhaps braver, or perhaps more compassionate, or more understanding. Someone's interest in music and singing pushes us to try new songs and hear different kinds of music. Someone's natural bent towards humor helps us to see things from a lighter perspective. Someone else's inquisitive mind and probings beyond what we might normally think invite us to a different point of view. Someone's focus on peace and justice in the world invites us to pay attention and respond instead of being complacent. Someone's ability to look deep into the ancient texts gives us a different perspective and understanding and challenges us. Someone's artistic ability opens our eyes to see beauty and color and life in other ways. Someone shows us what caregiving for a spouse and dealing with poor health and dealing with the loss of a partner looks like. Someone encourages us to participate in and appreciate projects that are outside our sometimes small worlds. Some have shown us how to volunteer. We have all of this within this place and with this group of people. We have all the opportunities, if we choose, to learn from each other. Together we are more than the sum of our parts. Again, welcome here. My hope is something that is said or sung or heard or talked about this morning in some way will add to your life and living as you journey forward in this new week ahead. All right, let's join together in some singing. Let's put our voices together, meld them all. And you have two choices. You will have been given or taken a hymn book from the back, or this one is also in Sing the Journey. It's familiar to us, whichever one you're using. Jesus calls us. Please stand as we sing together. I guess one might have had one less verse than the other, I'm not sure. Our call to worship this morning, as we read it together, is from the Purple Book, the Sing the Story, number 190. And I'd invite you to read that together with me as it is printed. People of God, look about and see the faces of those we know and love, neighbors and friends, sisters and brothers, a community of kindred hearts. People of God, look about and see the faces of those we hardly know, strangers, sojourners, forgotten friends, the ones who need an outstretched hand. People of God, look about you and see all the images of God assembled here. In me, in you, in each of us, God's Spirit shines for all to see. People of God, come, let us worship together. Let's pray together. God of our days and our nights, God of this both peaceful and warring world, God of great understanding and love for all, we are here as a delightful mix of people, not one of us the same as the other. We are here with our unique differences. For all who hear this today, we pray your peace and blessing. For all who are here with a questioning sort of faith and feel like they have more questions than answers, we pray your peace and blessing. For those who have come with all the confidence they can in their understanding, we pray your peace and blessing. For those who plan and water and nurture seeds and plants and relationships, we pray your peace and blessing. For all who've come with heavy hearts, we pray your peace and blessing. We pray your blessing on all that we are as we worship here this day. In your name, together we pray. Amen. Let's continue with some singing, and you'll see those two songs mentioned there. For some of you, these are familiar because they're considered kind of camp songs, as Carla said. So if you may have heard them before, they're not totally new. I think sing along as you are able, and please stand if you're able. Number 11, first of all, in that purple hymnal.
Thank you.
right, in that same purple book with the hardcover there, number 387. And this is, you know, I think this is also is a quite a familiar song to us all. We are one in the Spirit.
Good morning and welcome here. Can you hear me? Yeah, I can't hear myself either. No, that's bad when you can't even hear yourself. Okay, getting better. There we go. Okay, good morning and welcome here to all of you. And I agree with Joy when she says, this seems like the most that we have had since last summer. It just feels wonderful to have all of you here. And for those of you who are at home, we appreciate you. We appreciate the sacrifices that you are making for the safety of the entire community. And when the time is right, we also welcome you back here to sit with us, to sit shoulder to shoulder. One day, we are going to shake hands. We are going to hug again. Oh, I get very excited thinking about that. It will come. We just don't know exactly when. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the breath of life that you have granted to each of us. Thank you for your companionship as we journey along life's road. Our lives go in so many directions that we had not anticipated. We have challenges that we never saw coming. We have disappointments that we never expected. And in the midst of all of these, there are also unexpected joys and blessings. With humility, we look to you and we say thank you. Thank you for giving us life, and through Jesus Christ, for giving us hope. Hope in this life, amidst all of the challenges, and hope for and in the future life. Help us to have eyes that are open and ears that are open to hearing from you, that our faith journey as we go through our life's challenges would not just be an intellectual journey, that our faith would not just be stuffed in a church or in a sanctuary or even in hymn books, but that it would be vibrant, that it would walk with us each step of the way, that our feet would be feet of faith and our hands, hands of faith, and the eyes with which we see others, our neighbors, people that we don't know and have never seen before, would be eyes from our heart, from your heart, showing us, giving us insight and understanding where we never had it before, that our lives would be so full and rich because of your presence of walking with us, that it changes everything. Thank you that even when we stumble and fall, even when we absolutely turn our backs on you, you persist. You companion with us. You journey with us in such faithfulness and love, compassion, patience. We confess our sins before you, thanking you for your ready forgiveness, for cleansing us, for wiping all of that away. Our memories are really long sometimes, and we bring up the things that we regret. But you have washed it white as snow. You have cleansed us through Jesus' blood. Help us to look forward, to see our lives, to see ourselves the way you see us. Thank you for inviting us to prayer and to inviting us to show how weak and dependent we really are. We like to be strong and independent. We like to achieve things and produce things and become things. And in prayer, you invite us to recognize how you help us along. And we thank you for that. Thank you for all of the farming that has happened and continues to happen. We ask for safety for all of those involved in the various tasks. I won't even begin to name things, but you know what they are, and we ask that you would guard their lives. We pray for rain. Again, this creation is yours. Who are we to say this land needs this and this amount at this time? Thank you for giving us this earth. Thank you for entrusting it to our care. Help us to care for it as much as you do. Thank you for caring for all of those who have health concerns, for all of those who are caring for others. Ease their burden. Help them to recognize your presence together with them as well. Help us here in this community to recognize, whoa, there are other really good communities out there. And not to be so afraid to encounter them, to work together with them, others who seem so different from us. Give us courage. Courage to appreciate and enjoy others, especially those who are different. And because we see these answers to prayer, we continue to ask for things. We've been praying for Camp Elam, and we pray that now, as they have turned a corner and decided, maybe this is the way the ministry is meant to go, they are trying to be as faithful stewards as possible with the resources that they have. And we ask that it would be a blessing to this community and to those not yet reached. We pray for all of those struggling with and against the pandemic. Help us to be faithful and careful. And we pray for those that we have never even met. Those in Myanmar, we don't understand the political situation. We hear, we try to gain knowledge, and we even sacrifice or offer some of our own attention and emotional capital. It doesn't feel good to be disturbed about somebody else's situation, and yet we allow ourselves to be disturbed and upset because we pray for justice, and we pray that justice would come for the people in Myanmar. We also pray for the situation in Palestine and Israel, And for all of the people who have an opinion about it, may your justice come down, because we have to admit we don't even understand it. We don't have a corner on justice issues, but we long for it. We long for peace, not only in the areas of the world that seem to never have enjoyed peace, but for the entire creation. We are all groaning together, together with the other churches, the churches mentioned here, the New Life Seventh-day Adventist Church, as well as Mount Royal, and their leaders. We pray for them. We pray for their communities, that we would make a difference in this world, in our communities, in our streets. Show us. We pray for your blessing on the offering that we gave. Help us to be even more generous, and not only with the money, but our time, and as I've mentioned, our emotional capital, that we would be willing to make ourselves uncomfortable, even just to learn about others' discomfort, that we would demonstrate that all day long we are as sheep to be slaughtered, because we follow you, and this is how you taught us to live. And so we also pray the way you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I would invite you to join together in singing number 356 in the blue hymnal. And this is a prayer. This is a gentle prayer that it says, breathe on me, which is very, it's just a gentle thing as we go into in our life and in the rest of our service this morning. Please stand if you're able.
This is the day of Pentecost, the day on which we celebrate the birthday of the church, the day on which the disciples received such a startling new experience of the presence of God that they were empowered to become the Church of Jesus Christ, a community of new people with the message of good news for a tired and hurting world.
The power they received is called the Holy Spirit. In Hebrew scripture, it is known as the wind or breath of God, that presence of God that fills the earth and brings it to birth.
Genesis 1, at the beginning of creation, when God made the heavens and the earth was without form and void, with darkness over the face of the deep. But a mighty wind, a God wind, swept over the surface of the waters.
The wind of God, that presence which inflates the world and people full to overflowing with life.
Genesis 2, then God formed a person from the dust of the ground and breathed into the person's nostrils the breath of life, and the person became a living being.
A God wind blew,
and the world had life.
God breathed the breath of God's Spirit,
and the first person came alive. A story from the Gospel according to St. John. One night, a learned Pharisee came to Jesus asking, "Teacher, how can a person enter God's new community?"
"In truth, in very truth, I tell you, unless you are born again, you cannot be part of God's new community. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but it is spirit that gives birth to spirit. That is what it means to be born again. You are puzzled, but I tell you, the wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. That is the way it is when you are born of the wind of the Spirit."
To be born of the wind of the Spirit, that is what it means to be the Pentecost people of God. After the resurrection, the disciples waited in Jerusalem for the promised gift of the Spirit. Hear how the church was born.
While the day of Pentecost was running its course, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, there came from the sky a noise like that of a strong rushing wind, a wind which filled the whole house. They were set on fire with what appeared to be tongues of flame resting on each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Jesus had told them to wait for the Spirit, and they had waited. Now, gathered together in a house, suddenly they knew what it meant to be the church. Filled with the presence of God, they were born again, born of the wind of the Spirit, ready and willing to be blown out into a world that so desperately needed new people for a new age.
We have gathered this morning as the disciples were gathered more than 2,000 years ago, waiting for the Spirit. Can we be filled with the winds of God?
We can, if we will but let ourselves go, if we will but let our church go and be swept along by the winds of God.
We can, if we will but let ourselves go, if we will but let our church go and be swept along by the winds of God. What does it mean to be filled with God's Holy Spirit? We close with the words of St. Paul.
For the harvest of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law dealing with such things as these. They are the fruit of the Spirit. If then the Spirit is the source of our life, let the Spirit also direct our course.
If then the Spirit is the source of our life, let the Spirit also direct our course.
May God give us grace to be the Pentecost people of God.
Thank you, Elaine and Shirley, and I hope you all appreciated that very brief survey of the work of the Spirit. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture that I'm going to focus very distinctly on is Romans 8, as it says in your bulletin. Romans 8, verses 22 to 27. I don't hear any pages turning, so I'm just going to start reading. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, but who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. One of the words from that very short passage that I am going to use again and again is groan. Partly because you can really, you know, put yourself into it. Groan. Oh, groan. I love a good groaner. Everybody knows I like that kind of humor, you know, not the slapstick, but just sort of dry humor, a real groaner. I don't think that's the kind of groaning that we're talking about in the Spirit, but hey, we don't know. And that is also one of the key points for today. We don't necessarily know. So how does groaning and not knowing go together, especially on this day of Pentecost, which is what these visuals are all about, giving us different hints about Pentecost, about the presence of the Spirit. But what does that have to do with the Spirit's presence? Groaning and not knowing. In a nutshell, whenever there is a birthday, there is groaning. Isn't that the truth? For almost everyone here, until you reach that golden age of 21, after that, it's all downhill. And if you are reminding others, hey, it's your birthday, so many times people will say, oh, don't remind me. Groan. Because we want to be youthful. We want the early days to continue, the strength and the joy and all of that. So when today was suggested to be the birthday of the church, that's why I told Grace to put it in quotation marks, happy birthday, because for many, birthdays are not always happy. In fact, I remember two distinct birthdays in my family. Neither of them were mine. But on one birthday, my younger sister was having a birthday party, and all of a sudden, she was crying. I have no idea why. Nobody knew why. It kind of wrecked the party. Why on earth would a kid, she was just a little kid, and she was crying at her own birthday party? Like that song, "It's My Party, and I'll Cry If I Want To"? Well, she was. I think she might have got a spanking for that. But another birthday that I remember crying happening, and I was really quite young, and my mother turned 40. And there was crying in the household, which was really odd. I had never seen my mom cry before. So I stayed outside. I didn't know what was going on. But all of this groaning. There is groaning also when we are thinking about the birthday of the church. And these verses that I read are talking about groaning. groaning in anticipation, groaning in yearning and waiting, because we know a new day is coming. Something better is coming. It's not all just downhill. And the birthday of the church gives us a visual for the possibilities. You know, the Spirit is wind, or as wind. You don't know where it's going or where it has come from, but you see the effects. And that's what happened on Pentecost Sunday. That was the first, the coming of the Spirit, the first birthday. Now, if we're celebrating our birthdays, I don't think anyone here celebrates by remembering their coming into reality. Anybody do that? Think back to where your mother was, and was she in the hospital or out on the field or something? And then all of a sudden, there I was, bursting forth. That's not usually the way. It's kind of gross, isn't it? Everybody's like, ooh, don't talk about that, because we know everything else that comes along with it. And nowadays, they show that all on TV, even when we don't want to see it. So why would we ourselves, who are celebrating the birthday of the church, insist on looking only at that first day of birth of the church? It was a visual, something impactful, something happened that had never happened before. Yes, and these streamers are supposed to symbolize fire, the tongues of fire that sat on each of the apostles' heads. We have no wind happening here, sorry for that. Ah, even the fans aren't moving. There's no wind in here. Okay, but there's supposed to be the sound. Not real wind, but it was the sound of wind. Also, the dove symbolizing the coming of the Holy Spirit. All of these are physical elements to help us see what can't be seen. And that happened on the first birth. The initial birth, so that we would have something to remember, to hook our belief onto. But we don't need to expect that very same rebirthing continuously. Now we begin to hope for what we don't see. And we know that it's real because at one point it was seen. And the languages and all of these things that happened on that first birth of the church. But there was groaning. There was groaning on that very first birthday. What happened on that day? People gathered together and said, "What is going on?" And one brave soul stood up and said, "I'll tell you what's going on." And that story you'll find in Acts. For those of you who want to read about it, Shirley and Elaine read a little piece of it, Acts 2, verse 33 to Acts 2, verse 4. That doesn't make any sense. That's backwards. Read Acts 2. And in there you will find that story. But the weird thing is, this speech that was given on Pentecost Sunday was kind of rude. It was an accusation, because when Peter stood up to tell the story of the birth of the church, he started really well. He started by saying, "This Jesus of Nazareth." Uh-oh, right then and there, you know it's going to go south. Because he said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And right then and there, they recognized, ooh, what good can come from Nazareth? All those presuppositions, oh, don't talk about him again. You remember this Jesus of Nazareth, whom you didn't like, whom your eyes roll at. You don't even like thinking that he came from that place. But his life and teaching, verse 22, we know about it, we were witnesses to it. His crucifixion, verse 23, whom you crucified. This was supposed to be a celebration. This is a birthday party, the birth of the church. And here, the very first sermon is, you did this. This crucifixion happened. And then also the resurrection, verse 24. And this Jesus is now exalted. He has gone to heaven. He is at the right hand of the Father, verse 33. victory. This is the victory that we are celebrating. Hey, it's Victoria Day. Well, tomorrow. This is Victoria Day long weekend. We're celebrating the birthday of the Queen. We're celebrating this very special day. This became the honor of the official birthday of Canada's sovereign. Wow, doesn't that make your heart melt? And it's on the same weekend as the birthday of the church. What a celebration. And yet, you know, there's a big but coming. Because there's always a but. The but here for us, for the birthday of Canada's Confederation, the mother of Confederation. Some people wanted this day also to be called Victoria and First Peoples Day. And then suddenly our eyes are opened a little bit and we realize, oh boy, it is not all cut from one piece of cloth. This is not a pure celebration because there are things that we don't know or we don't want to admit or confess or recognize. The picture is so much bigger than simply, woohoo, it's the beginning of summer, let's go camping. That is the ignorance with which we can just, oh, everything is fine, la la la. But it's not, and we need to have our eyes open. And that's what Peter did on that very first day. And what happened? Did everybody go home and nobody wanted to join that kind of a downer church? No, that's not at all what happened. When the truth is preached, when the truth is admitted, people say, finally, the truth is out there. And those who heard this truth, when Peter said, this Jesus, whom you crucified, God has raised from the dead. This is where salvation comes from. People came to the church. People streamed to this church because the truth was finally being spoken. That's quite a birthday. But the birthday comes with groaning. With the groaning, recognizing, wow, we messed up. We are not this pure church. We didn't do everything right. And we continue to not do everything right. So there's rejoicing because it is the birthday. There's rejoicing because we have this power of the Holy Spirit, which God has granted to us and has been seen. There's rejoicing, but there's also groaning. And as Romans says, or the writer of Romans reminds us, all of creation is groaning. It's not just we who are Christians saying, oh, I can hardly wait to get to heaven. Well, there's that. But all of creation right now, living, is groaning, longing for the redemption, longing for God to redeem our physical bodies, our creation, everything that is created, the whole created universe is groaning, waiting for redemption. So we have to admit, there's the rejoicing. Remember, don't forget the rejoicing. We started with the rejoicing. But we also have to admit that we don't know everything or recognize God's redeeming. We don't recognize the way that God is continuously redeeming all of the created order. There's the hard kind of groaning part. Sometimes we're groaning because it's like, oh man, I messed up again. I was that dumb. I couldn't see that. You know, like when people are always reminding us, oh, you know, when you say this, it's kind of racist. Oh, man, that's right. And then there's groaning. There's inner groaning because we didn't realize. We don't recognize what it is we're doing. And these people that heard that initial speech groaned and realized, oh, we didn't recognize. We were trying to uphold the law. We were trying to uphold and keep the temple. We were the keepers, not the destroyers. And yet, in our keeping, we were destroying. That was the first groaning birthday. In our keeping, we were destroying. Yet God's redeeming work keeps on keeping on, in spite of us. And that's why we can rejoice, because the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power that brought all of creation into being, the power that with which Jesus did all of his healings, and so much more, that power is available to us right now. And in the midst of that availability is the groaning, because that interaction of that powerful spirit with our own spirit, there's always the friction. There's always the, oh, now I see something I didn't see before. Oh, now I recognize something I didn't recognize before. And we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, admit that we don't know or recognize all of God's redeeming work. Can we do that? Can we? It's hard. Even that just simple, the first step of admitting. And that maybe when we are trying to keep the law or to keep the purity, that we are actually destroying or working against the activity of God's redeeming work throughout all of creation. I can't leave you hanging here. I can't stop here, even if the clock said it was time to stop. I couldn't stop here, because there's still more good news. The good news from the Romans chapter, and I want you to adopt Romans chapter 8. It's an adoption chapter anyways. We're adopted. So you can adopt Romans 8 as the spirit chapter. You know, there's the faith chapter. Anybody know what's the faith chapter in the Bible? Some of you know, I know. This great cloud of witnesses, and by faith, Abraham, by faith, Moses, by faith, by faith, by faith. Anyone? Going once, going twice? Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. Okay, I'll give you an easy one. The love chapter. There you go. Thank you very much. Yeah, lots of you were saying it behind your masks. 1 Corinthians 13, it's all about love. Now, adopt Romans 8 as your spirit chapter, because it's talking about walking with the Spirit, walking according to the Spirit, not according to our own flesh and blood or according to our own inclinations. And in the Spirit, we are adopted, chosen, and redeemed, verse 22 of Romans 8. But it doesn't stop there. The redemption doesn't stop there. It continues. There's one more step, and that's what I read here, that the Spirit is constantly interceding for us, interceding together with us, interceding with groans too deep to be uttered. Why? Why is the Spirit interceding for us? Because we don't know. See, if you didn't admit in step two, you don't get to step three. And step three is giving thanks for God's Spirit interceding on our behalf, interceding with us. Because God's Spirit knows how God wants to redeem everything, everyone, every created person, all of creation. God's business is redeeming and bringing to life, not destroying and cutting down or building boundaries or saying you're bad and we're good. No, that's not redemption.
And we ourselves don't even understand the full extent of God's redemption. So the Spirit has to intercede on our behalf because we don't know. And intercedes with groanings too deep even for us. Sometimes, yeah, we're groaning. When health is on the line, when life and death, then we get a hint of that deep, deep groaning. When someone that you know is struggling with something that is just beyond words, you pray with such deep groaning. Imagine that depth of prayer and care that God's Spirit also has for climate change. For climate change, God loves the creation way more than we even do. We just want to use it for our own good. We want to drive around. We want to use fossil fuels. We want to drink water out of plastic bottles. We want to throw things away and imagine that they just go away. And all sorts of things. But God's Spirit groans deeply. It groans deeply when we don't recognize that we're settlers, that we are settlers of this land. And what does that mean? I didn't do anything. It's not my fault. I don't recognize how I benefit from these things. God's Spirit intercedes when we get tired of hearing about or praying for Middle East issues. Oh, not again. When we don't know how to pray, we don't even know the extent of God's desire to redeem so many different things, all of creation. And that is the birthday of the church. The depth of this groaning. So it's not really a birthday. It's more like an anniversary. Because you know that in every relationship, what is the key component of every relationship? The most important thing? Communication. Communication. We need to relearn how to communicate with God, to hear from God, to hear God's heart on all of these matters. What is God busy with? What new hobby does God have? Imagine rekindling your marriage, rekindling some friendships that you have. The key component is communication, and that's exactly what we have here. God is saying, we need this communication to be rekindled, and the Spirit is ready and active and interceding so deeply, groaning and longing for us to hear and participate. So let's rejoice because God is redeeming. Hallelujah. Hooray. Amen. A clapping is easier, isn't it? Easier than saying hallelujah, amen, way to go. Okay, so rejoice, God is redeeming. We can admit we don't know all of the ways God is trying to redeem, but give thanks for the Spirit groaning inside of us. Amen.
Let's respond to Lois's message with the song from in the blue hymnal, number 304. There are many gifts, and you'll see at the bottom that this is taken from 1 Corinthians 12. Let's rise and sing together.
Oh,
bow for the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.